Contact tracing in New South Wales might be gold standard, but authorities in that state have their work cut out for them, tracking down thousands of people now who took part in that violent anti-lockdown rally at the weekend. The demonstrations in Sydney were part of a national wave of protest, which health authorities fear could become super spreader events. The Prime Minister has condemned protests in Sydney and Melbourne, but he says those who rallied in parts of the country where there are no restrictions in place have a right to do so.
Selfish behaviour doesn't help anybody. And so in a city under lockdown, to engage in that was reckless and it was selfish. Now, as for other parts of the country that aren't in lockdown, well, there is such a thing as free speech, and I'm not about to be imposing those sorts of restrictions on people's free speech.
Well, Dr. Norman Swan joins me now. Hello, Norman.
Hi, Fran.
The PM condemning those who took to the streets in Sydney and Melbourne during a lockdown, but, you know, conceding people have a right otherwise to protest. The danger is, could these turn out to be super spreader events and set things back? There was certainly no social distancing going on that I could see.
No, and it didn't look like a group of people who were going to rush off and get a nasopharyngeal swab either. So we just won't know for a few days, but high risk in Sydney and medium risk in Melbourne.
The protests happened as New South Wales recorded two more COVID deaths, sadly, bringing the total for this outbreak to eight. But amongst them, and this is, I think, what's really surprised people, a 38-year-old woman, becoming the youngest person to die in Australia from COVID. We know this Delta variant is more contagious, Norman, but do we know, and is this a proof, if we needed it, that it is more dangerous for younger people?
It is probably more virulent. The British are suggesting it is. The evidence from New South Wales already is that it is more virulent because compared to the virus that affected Victoria, which was a version of the Wuhan virus last year in their second wave, New South Wales has probably got about double to three times the rate of admission to intensive care. So on that statistic, so about the same rate of hospitalisation, but the rate of transfer to ICU is significantly higher. So that's a worry. So it's probably about twice, actually. The statistics have settled down a little bit. I haven't done it for a couple of days, but it's certainly higher. Now, it's always been the case that young people can die of COVID, and what's happened here is that it's moving down the age groups, and the dominant age group, and the dominant age group has always been younger people. It's just that if you've got enough people infected, unfortunately young people will die, and it may well be that this one is more virulent. It's a tragic event in somebody particularly with no risk factors.
It certainly is a tragic event. Do you think it's going to make a difference to attitudes and take-up rate of vaccines? I mean, the Prime Minister on the weekend was making his view is that there's no magic bullet to the Delta outbreak, no vaccine solution, there's no alternative to lockdowns. Is he right there? Are they still the most potent weapon in this fight? Or is the Premier, Gladys Berejiklian, right to be calling for an urgent surge in vaccinating southwest Sydney in particular and urging young people to take up the vaccine?
It's both, but the Prime Minister's right that lockdown is the primary, is really all you've got at the moment. The problem in New South Wales has been a more measured response and actually introducing things steadily. When they should have gone hard, they should have gone early. And it's still the case. It's a 10-kilometre radius in Sydney. So people feel probably that they can still move around more. The issue is compliance. The protest is just one example of huge lack of compliance. In Victoria the other day, of 700 door knocks, only two people were not at home. I'm not sure we've heard the compliance statistics. The University of Sydney has shown that you've got a very high compliance rates to bend the curve, and we just don't understand fully the compliance rates in Sydney. And even if they were fully compliant, is it enough? So sometimes you've got to introduce greater measures. And on the vaccine statistics, Juliet O'Brien, who's one of the several unpaid but excellent data analysts here, has, you know, around about seven people have died of the clotting problem of Astra out of 6 million doses of Astra. Eight people have died out of 2,100 cases, one in 50 in ICU. So that gives you the statistics. It should, over 60s, 60 to 70-year-olds, only 40% have been immunised at all. I mean, over 60s have just got to get out and get Astra. There's no excuse for over 60s. We should be at 90% of the over 60s right now, and we're not. And under 60s should really be seriously considering Astra in New South Wales.
And do you think this change news from Otago over the weekend, it's now encouraging anyone aged 18 and over to get vaccinated in New South Wales with whatever vaccine is available?
That will help GPs to give their patients advice when they come in asking for advice on this.
So you think that might change the take-up rate for over 60s in particular?
Yeah, and well, I hope so, because they're going to be in a line behind 12-year-olds to get Pfizer. So if they're hanging on for Pfizer, they might be waiting an awful long time.
Okay, because the vaccine advice on Pfizer might change for 12 to 15-year-olds too.
Well, it needs to. It needs to. We need to immunise down to 12-year-olds. We need to immunise children.
There's a lot of different news and changing news coming out on the vaccines that people are trying to keep a handle on. Over the weekend, some infectious disease experts said prioritising first doses was a logical strategy that could tip things back in our favour, meaning everyone should get a first shot at least. Key to that is supply. We've got this abundance of AstraZeneca. New South Wales is begging the other states to hand over their Pfizer supply. What do you think the states should do?
Look, I think Martin Foley reflected it, at least as reported by... I think Martin Foley reflected, I think, probably the right attitude for the states, which is very hard for states to give up their Pfizer doses and not cover their population as quickly as they can. But the extra doses, you know, could go to New South Wales, and I'm not sure you'd see many states complaining about that if they don't lose their existing supply.
And, Norman, the Australian's reporting today the New South Wales government's modelling the New South Wales lockdown to extend to mid-September, which is, I think, a fairly bleak scenario. Do you think it's on the money?
I hope it's on the money. There's no bending of the curve yet. I'm not sure that it will bend unless Sydney goes to a higher level of compliance, and that may mean stricter rules to actually remind people they've got to stay at home.
Okay. And Norman, just someone's written in, I've got an appointment for the first Pfizer jab in mid-August, the second jab 3 weeks later. This is in Sydney. Can I assume this will take place? Are people in Sydney going to get their jab at 3 weeks if they're already booked in? Because the government's now looking at moving that out to 6 weeks.
I don't know the answer to that question. I mean, the first dose strategy is a good strategy. You've spoken about it on Iron Breakfast. We've covered it on Coronacast, on the Health Report, and on 7:30. It's the right strategy at the moment to actually get as much protection out there as quickly as possible. And if it does mean your appointment is moved out to 6 weeks, that won't necessarily be a bad thing. There is a suggestion that, in fact, you might even get a better immune response from your Pfizer at 6 weeks.
Hey, Norman, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Norman Swan, co-host of the Coronacast podcast and host here of the Health Report.